The amateur receiving the assistance must be under the age of 30. The DX Association has specifically designed the award this way to target those who help younger amateurs and ensure they continue to be encouraged and active in the hobby even after receiving their DXCC certificate. The intent of targeting this audience, helping younger amateurs, is to attract and retain those operators who are most likely to remain engaged in the hobby after achieving DXCC. The DX Mentor Recognition Program has the support of the Northern California DX Foundation and the International DX Association. Both groups are providing representatives on the judging committee. The award will be presented at Dayton Hamvention in May at the Southwest Ohio DX Association Dinner. For more information about the DX Mentor Recognition Program or to download an application, visit the website in the text version of this week's newscast at arnewsline.org. This is Andy Morrison, K9AWM.
Hams in the UK are being asked to contribute their ideas for radio's role in marking the King's coronation. Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, tells us more.
Long before there was radio, the UK had its fire beacons, torchlight relays that served as warnings of invasions in earlier centuries. As the Radio Society of Great Britain makes its plans to help mark the coronation of King Charles III, and his queen consort next May, the Society hopes to give this ancient tradition a role as well. A number of events will be organised for the occasion, with an eye towards demonstrating amateur radio to the public. The Society's coronation lead, Alan Messenger, G0TLK, is looking for ideas about what shape the special events will take, and most particularly how the fire beacons can be included as a way of honouring tradition. UK hams are being asked if they have suggestions for these events or any other thoughts to contact Alan at special.projects@rsgb.org.uk. This is Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
The marathon is on, starting January 1st, 2023. If you're a DXer, you can be in the running. Neil Rapp, WB9VPG, tells us how.
Since it was founded in June 2018, the True Blue DXers Club has acknowledged that, long path or short path, there is no easy path to good DXing. Beyond having good equipment, DXing takes skills and patience. The club continues to nurture its appreciation for DXing, accomplished via CW and SSB. It has announced its latest year-long operating event that begins on January 1st. This is their 2023 DX Ultra Marathon, and it is encouraging CW and sideband operation in as many DXCC entities and WAZ zones as possible. If you wish to be in the running during the 2023 marathon, you needn't join the club itself, but you are required to register. The link for registration can be found in this week's text version of our newscast at arnewsline.org. Then, start making QSOs as early as January 1st and begin uploading your logs on January 15th. The club's website notes that, like any worthy marathon, this event requires operators to push their limits and make an investment in time and in effort. This is Neil Rapp, WB9VPG.
In the world of DX, special stations SP90ENIGMA and SP90ENG are active until January 15th to mark the 90th anniversary since Polish cryptologists first broke the Enigma cipher. For SP90ENIGMA, send QSL via SP3PGR. For SP90ENG, QSL via SP3PDO. The Marconi Club is holding the fifth edition of its QSO Party Day on the 7th of January. Operators will be on the air from 0700 to 1800 UTC on 80, 40, and 20 meters using CW. The ARI Loano Marconi Club is a member of the International CW Council. Operators will be calling CQ-MCD. Special call signs R2023NY and UE23NY are active on the HF bands until the 8th of January for the annual Russian New Year radio marathon organized by the Miller DX Club, QSL via RQ7L. Be listening for HH75RCH on the bands from January 1st through the 1st of May. This is the special call sign marking the 75th anniversary of the Radio Club de Haiti, established on March 29th, 1948. QSL via Club Logs, OQRS, or via N200. Our final story for this week is about one holiday net that it's also, for many, a kind of safety net. Don Wilbanks, AE5DW, has that story for us.
Sometimes we get on the air looking for more than just a signal report. As the holiday season draws to a close, OnTARS, the Ontario Amateur Radio Service, has stepped in twice to do just that. Known for the daily net it holds on 3.755 MHz, OnTARS also provided a gathering place for amateurs who spent this past Christmas in need of company. That net, known as Sam's Christmas Cracker, was conducted by Sam Jones, VE3ZSZ, as he's done for the past 6 years with the support of Barry Lisiewski, VE3ISX, the OnTARS manager. Sam shared this year's net on December 25th on 80 meters at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time with Kevin, VA3RCA. Sam told Newsline in an email that the net added some holiday brightness for people who may have suffered a death in the family or perhaps were left trapped by the recent blizzard that struck the northeast regions of the United States and Canada. He said, quote, "It was about 120 minutes of just funny jokes and funny stories," end quote. Together, everyone checked in and found a common meeting ground on the air. Sam said he plans to hold another net on New Year's Day, January 1st. This will be on 7.185 MHz, lasting from 4 p.m. to 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time. It will be called the Positive Vibrations Net. Sam told Newsline, quote, "It's important. I try to bring smiles across the miles." This is Don Wilbanks, AE5DW.
Do you have a piece of amateur radio news that you think Newsline would be interested in? We're not talking about advertising your club's upcoming Hamfest or Field Day participation, but something that is out of the ordinary. If so, send us a brief overview via the contact page at arnewsline.org. If it's newsworthy and we would like to cover it, we'll get back to you for more details. With thanks to the Alexanderson Association, Amateur Radio Weekly, the ARRL, Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, Congresswoman Debbie Lesko, Contest University, CQ Magazine, the DARC, David Bihar, K7DB, the 425 DX News, Sam Jones, VE3ZSZ, shortwaveradio.de, the True Blue DXers Club, University of Alaska Geophysical Institute, Wireless Institute of Australia, and you, our listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. We remind our listeners that Amateur Radio Newsline is an all-volunteer, non-profit organization that incurs expenses for its continued operation. If you wish to support us, please visit our website at arnewsline.org. And know that we appreciate you all. We also remind our listeners that if you like our newscast, please leave us a 5-star rating wherever you subscribe to us. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Stephen Kinford, N8WB in Wadsworth, Ohio, saying 73. And as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2022, all rights reserved.
This is Otis M. Carson. I'm from NYC, and you're listening to WGXC Acre Hudson Catskill.
After a long absence on local stages, Catskill's Brian DeWan is performing back locally again on Thursday, December 22nd. It's his annual holiday program, and this year it is at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill from 7 to 9 p.m. on Thursday, December 22nd. WGXC should have a live webcast of the performance. It may also be on the FM airwaves. So tune in or turn out to the Avalon Lounge in Catskill Thursday, December 22nd for Catskill's Brian DeWan's return to local stages and his annual holiday show Thursday, December 22nd at the Avalon Lounge.
Wave Farm respectfully and humbly acknowledges the past, present, and future Indigenous peoples on whose ancestral lands Wave Farm and WGXC operate and broadcast. The Mohicans name themselves the people of the waters that are never still, following their arrival along the Great Ebb Tide River, also known as the Hudson. The Mohicans stewarded this land over many generations and in dynamic communication and interaction with diverse indigenous peoples, including the Haudenosaunee Mohawk and the Munsee Lenape. Mohican descendants today live in communities in Ontario, Wisconsin, and Oklahoma. For more information on Mohican history and the contemporary community of the Stockbridge-Munsee Band of Mohican Indians, please visit Mohican.com.
Oh, Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXE 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson. Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson. And every week, I'm joined by young people ages 8 to 20, and we talk about books. Books we love, books we hate, and bookish things. But unfortunately, my co-hosts Fatia, Georgia, and Amelia could not make it this week, so I am going to do the show by myself. And I thought, since we're nearing the end of the year and the start of the new year, that I would highlight some upcoming books for youth that I think sound really great and that I'm looking forward to keeping my eye on. So I picked out a handful of upcoming releases from 2023, from the first quarter of the year, maybe first half in some cases. We'll see how far I get into the year. But I'm going to share some upcoming releases that I think sound really promising that maybe you too would like to keep your eye out for. So first up is a book coming out in January, at the very end of January, by Ronald L. Smith, and it is called Where the Black Flowers Bloom. I'll read the description. A gripping, richly imagined African-inspired fantasy in which a black girl finds her power and saves her people from evil, by the Coretta Scott King John Steptoe New Talent Award-winning author of Black Panther, The Young Prince. In the land of El-Keb Bulan, 12-year-old Asha is an orphan raised by Madame S., the proprietor of a traveling carnival. When Madame S. is attacked by ghoulish creatures, she manages to tell Asha before she dies, "Seek the underground kingdom, where the black flowers bloom." Asha doesn't understand the mysterious words, but they launch her onto a page-turning quest to protect her people and stop an ancient evil. Along the way, she uncovers shocking secrets about the family she never knew and begins to find her place in the world as she discovers her own untapped powers. I've heard a lot of wonderful things about Ronald L. Smith's books. I've had one of them on my to-read list since it came out back in 2015, and I've just been taking way too long to get to it. But his book, Hoodoo, came out in 2015, and then, as noted in the description, Black Panther, The Young Prince came out in 2018, and he's had a couple publications since then as well. But I think this sounds really great, really powerful. Look forward to checking it out. The next book I want to highlight is a book from the Rick Riordan Presents imprint, and this one is by Stacy Lee, who I've only read one book by, and I loved it. I read it earlier this year and talked about it on the show, The Luck of the Titanic. She frequently writes historical fiction about Chinese American characters. And this, I believe, is one of her, I think most of her books are for teens, but this one is middle grade. And I will read the description. Best-selling author Rick Riordan presents best-selling author Stacy Lee's modern reimagining of a classic Chinese folktale replete with magic, boba, and lots of trash talking. 12-year-old Winston Chu is supposed to learn impulse control at the cooking academy his mom enrolled him in. But learning to think before he acts won't happen overnight. While skateboarding home with a pie in hand, Winston inadvertently stops a robbery at Mr. Pang's Whimsies, an oddities shop in Chinatown. As a reward, Mr. Pang invites Winston to choose any item in the store. But the strange old man warns Winston to browse carefully, for the first thing Winston touches will be the thing he gets. Before Winston can decide, a magpie flies under a shelf and he impulsively grabs an old broom to sweep it out. Mr. Pang hands him the broom, along with a dustpan. 2 for 1, congratulations. Deflated, Winston returns home, determined to put the broom incident behind him, or at least in the closet. But when some of his most beloved possessions go missing, all Winston can think about are the broom and dustpan. Did they somehow take his stuff? And what or who will they dispose of next? It's time to break into Mr. Peng's whimsies, where clearly there's more going on than meets the far-seeing eyeball. It's time to fight magic with magic, and this time Winston better have a plan. This sounds very different than the book that I read, but also very exciting and adventurous and with an interesting lead character. So, curious to check it out. And that is scheduled for release on February 7th, 2023. So keep an eye out for that one too. The next book I want to highlight is a middle grade novel by Kelly Yang, and it is coming out at the end of February. Kelly Yang wrote the series that starts with Front Desk, which I loved, which is a middle grade series. And this is a new one that appears so far to be a standalone, but I don't know if that will change over time. So here's the description for Finally Seen. From the New York Times bestselling author of Front Desk comes a gripping middle grade novel about a young girl who leaves China to live with her parents and sister after 5 years apart and learns about family, friendship, and the power of being finally seen. My sister got to grow up with my parents. Me? I grew up with postcards from my parents. When 10-year-old Lena Gao steps off the plane in Los Angeles, it's her first time in America and the first time seeing her parents and her little sister in 5 years. She's been wanting for this moment every day while she lived with her grandmother in Beijing, getting teased by kids at school who called her left-behind girl. Finally, her parents are ready for her to join their fabulous life in America, except it's not exactly like in the postcards. One, school's a lot harder than she thought. When she mispronounces some words in English on the first day, she decides she simply won't talk, ever again. Two, her chatty little sister has no problem with English and seems to do everything better than Lena, including knowing exactly the way to her parents' hearts. Three, they live in an apartment, not a house like in Mom's letters, and they owe a lot of back rent from the pandemic, and Mom's plan to pay it back sounds more like a hobby than a moneymaker. As she reckons with her hurt, Lena tries to keep a lid on her feelings, both at home and at school. When her teacher starts facing challenges for her latest book selection, a book that deeply resonates with Lena, it will take all of Lena's courage and resilience to get over her fear in order to choose a future where she's finally seen. So this book seems like it covers a lot in 304 pages. And I know that some of Kelly Yang's books have been targeted by challenges, with a big rise in challenges that highlight anything around, seeming around people of color in the United States facing any kind of hardship. So it's interesting that that is a part of the story and one of the challenges that is faced in this story. But I think it sounds like a really interesting immigrant story, especially since she is a young person who is coming later than her parents and later than her sister in particular, her younger sister. So the challenges of having a sibling who's younger than you who is succeeding in something at a faster pace because they've been there longer. So definitely want to check this one out. I still have to finish the series that started with Front Desk. I've read the first two in that series. So gonna have to finish that one first, perhaps. We'll see. There's time for all of it, right? Time for all the books. The next book that I wanted to highlight is coming out in the middle of March, March 21st. And it is by Rajani LaRocca, who lives across the border in Western Mass and writes books for children of all ages, from picture books to novels. And this one is called Mirror to Mirror. Here's the description. Rajani LaRocca, recipient of the Newbery Honor and Walter Award for Red, White, and Whole, is back with an evocative novel in verse about identical twin sisters who do everything together until external pressures threaten to break them apart. Maya is the pragmatic twin, but her secret anxiety threatens to overwhelm her. Chaya is the outgoing twin. When she sees her beloved sister suffering, she wants to tell their parents, which makes Maya feel completely betrayed. With Maya shutting her out, Chaya makes a dramatic change to give her twin the space she seems to need. but that's the last thing Maya wants, and the girls just drift further apart. The once-close sisters can't seem to find their rhythm, so they make a bet. They'll switch places at their summer camp, and whoever can keep the ruse going longer will get to decide where they both attend high school, the source of frequent arguments. But stepping into each other's shoes comes with its own difficulties, and the girls don't know how they're going to make it. This emotional lyrical story will speak to fans of Ali Benjamin, Padma Venkatraman, and Jasmine Warga. That's a nice group of authors there, too. But I think this sounds really fun, and not just fun. The summer camp part seems fun, but I also love that it's a verse novel. I love that it has some South Asian representation. I love that it is a story about twin sisters, and perhaps it'll be told from both perspectives. So I'm really looking forward to checking this one out, and that'll be coming out at the end of March. The next book I want to highlight is a graphic novel called Parachute Kids, and it's by Betty C. Tang. And I've never actually read anything from Betty, at least that I can recall. But she does have a number of books out, and I've heard that this is going to be a really good one. So here's the description. From New York Times bestselling comic artist Betty C. Tang comes an extraordinary story filled with humor and heart about three kids living on their own as undocumented new immigrants, inspired by the author's childhood experiences as a parachute kid. A dream trip to America turns into a nightmare. Feng Li can't wait to discover America with her family, but after an action-packed vacation, her parents deliver shocking news. They are returning to Taiwan and leaving Feng Li and her older siblings in California, on their own. Suddenly, the three kids must fend for themselves in a strange new world and get along. Starting a new school, learning a new language, and trying to make new friends while managing a household is hard enough, but bro and sis's constant bickering makes everything worse. Thankfully, there are some hilarious moments to balance the stress and loneliness. But as tensions escalate, and all three kids get tangled in a web of bad choices, can Feng Li keep her family together? So again, this one is a new one to me. The artwork that I've seen so far looks great. I think the story sounds really interesting and unique. And looking to check this out, see if I find a new graphic novel artist that I want to follow. And that'll be coming out on April 4th. So we have to wait a little bit longer for that one. And then the final one that I'll share today, we have to wait the longest for. That one's coming out May 9th. But it sounds so good that I wanted to shout it out on the radio. So this one is called Grounded, and it's by Aisha Saeed, S.K. Ali, Jamila Tompkins Bigelow, and Huda El-Marashi. So it's a multiple author book, which I often love. So here's the description for this one. Four kids meet at an airport for one unforgettable night in this middle grade novel by four best-selling and award-winning authors. When a thunderstorm grounds all flights following a huge Muslim convention, four unlikely kids are thrown together. Feek is stuck babysitting his younger sister, but he'd rather be writing a poem that's good enough for his dad, a famous poet and rapper. Hannah is intent on finding a lost cat in the airport, and also on avoiding a conversation with her dad about him possibly remarrying. Sammy is struggling with his anxiety and worried that he'll miss the karate tournament that he's trained so hard for. And Nora has to deal with the pressures of being the daughter of a prominent congresswoman when all she really wants to do is make fun knock-knock videos. These kids don't seem to have much in common. Yet. Told in alternating points of view, Grounded tells the story of one unexpected night that will change these kids forever. So I'm very much looking forward to this book. I've read books by Aisha Saeed, and I've heard really great things about books by the other authors, but I don't think I've read anything by them. Maybe some picture books. Yeah, I've read some picture books by the authors, but I haven't read their teen or middle grade titles. But I know at least two of these authors also worked on a compilation of stories called Once Upon an Eid that my niece really loved. And anyways, it just sounds like a fun setting, I like the different perspectives, and presumably we'll have some connections with all the characters. But yeah, Sounds great. That's Grounded by Aisha Saeed, S.K. Ali, Jamila Tompkins-Bigelow, and Huda Al-Marashi. And it's coming out May 9th. Also right around that time, we're getting really excited at Bound by Books for the return of the Hudson Children's Book Festival. We'll be coming back for the first time since pre-pandemic. And